ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 6, The Activities of Lord Rishabhadev, Text Number 15. Konvasya kashtam aparo nugachen मनोरथेनापि अभवस्य योगी यो योगमाया स्पृहयाति उदास्ता यसत्तया येन कृतप्रयत्नः। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Kaha, who? No, indeed. Asya, of Lord Rishabhadev. Kashtam, the example. Apara, else. Anugachet, can follow. Manoratena, by the mind. Api, even, abhavasya, of the unborn, yogi, the mystic, yaha, who, yogamaya, the mystic perfections of yoga, sprihayati, desires, Udasta, rejected by Rishabhadev. He certainly, asattaya, by the quality of being insubstantial, yena, by whom, Rishabhadev, krita prayatna, although eager to serve. Who is that mystic yogi who can follow the examples of Lord Rishabhadev even with his mind? Lord Rishabhadev rejected all kinds of yogic perfection which other yogis hanker to attain. Who is that yogi who can compare to Lord Rishabhadev? Purport. Generally, yogis desire the yogic perfections of anima, lagima, mahima, prakamya, prapti, ishitva, vashitva, and kamavashayita. Lord Rishabhadev, however, never aspired for all these material things. Such siddhis, perfections, are presented by the illusory energy of the Lord. The real purpose of the yoga system is to achieve the favor and shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But this purpose is covered by the illusory energy of yoga maya. So-called yogis are therefore allured by the superficial material perfections of anima, lagima, prapti, and so forth. Consequently, ordinary yogis cannot compare to Lord Rishabhadev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Konvasya kashtam maparo nugachen manoratenapi abhavasya yogi yoyoga maya sprihayati udasta yasattaya yena krita prayatna. Who is that mystic yogi who can follow the examples of Lord Rishabhadev even with his mind? Lord Rishabhadev rejected all kinds of yogic perfection which other yogis hanker to attain. Who is that yogi who can compare to Lord Rishabhadev? Om Akyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatiade Shatarine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When I first read the verse and the purport, it was quite far from me, like these things. Anima lagima. Not because I'm detached from these things, but because it's kind of too far away, like thinking, becoming smaller than the smallest. I'm small, but smaller than the smallest, that you can go under the door and disappear. Bigger than the biggest, and all these cities, yogic perfections, is very difficult to attain. So in one sense, and I don't know how it sounded to you when you heard the purport. Sometimes when we hear these purports, isn't it a bit remote to us? We're living here in Belgium, and we're doing our seva, and we're nicely engaged in devotional service happily. But these mystic powers seem far away. But then looking a little bit more into the purport and the meaning, we can also apply it to our position in the practice of bhakti yoga. Because we're practicing yoga. Real yoga, Srila Prabhupada explains, is bhakti yoga. The yoga is the union with Krishna through divine service or divine love. And this is real yoga. There are many types of yogas, but bhakti yoga is yoga. It's the culmination of yoga. All the other processes of yoga are parts of, ultimately, parts of bhakti yoga. From the point of view of, from the Vaishnava perspective. Of course, if we enter into the six classical systems of philosophy in India, yoga will mean control of the mind. It's the process of eliminating all the nivrittis, the false conceptions from chitta, from consciousness. And this will be the process of controlling the mind or situating the mind in its proper condition, in its original condition of goodness, which ultimately means pure goodness, because the material mind is a reflection of the pure consciousness of the self. And yoga is meant to bring us to that pure original consciousness. So looking at the verse from the point of view of the bhakti yogi, here we find an important principle, the principle of not imitating God and not imitating his empowered representatives. They are empowered because the Lord has given them the power. As soon as he withdraws the power, they become an ordinary person, or appear to be an ordinary person. Like, for example, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we find that Arjuna, when he, after Lord Krishna's disappearance, he was remembering in separation his dealings with the Lord. And he said that in the absence of the Lord, he was not able to protect Krishna's wives. They were under his custody. He was due, that was his service, to protect them. But he was not able to protect them even from a band, a small band, of cowherd men, more or less, we could say, illiterate or not very cultured people, and not very skilled in the art of fighting. And he was the same great warrior. He expresses, I had my very same Gandiva bow. I am the same Arjuna of powerful arms. And he gives different characteristics of himself. I have the same external attributes, but I was not able to use them. I had defeated even, I had protected Indradev, the king of heaven. He had acted as the empowered representative of the Lord. The Lord is described Krishna's two Bhagavan Svayam, Indrari Vyakulam Lokam Mrida Yanti Yuge Yuge. The Lord comes to protect Indradev, the king of heaven, of his enemies. So he had done it through a mortal, we can say, someone from this planet. So someone from this planet developed such mystic power that he was able to travel, like the first book Srila Prabhupada wrote was, is a journey to other planets. He was able to travel to other planets. How he did it, I don't know, but he did it. This is described in Mahabharata. And not only that, but he was able to protect the ruler of the universe from influence of demons. He was helping him. So that's the power of the Lord, that sometimes the Lord empowers a living entity, generally a devotee, but if he wishes, he can empower also a non-devotee to do great things. Like there is one purport in the first canto where Srila Prabhupada mentions people like Napoleon, Hitler. They were given power by God. They misused the power, but they had power. Otherwise, how they could be so influential? How they could terrorize the world? How they could kill so many people? Even they were being fighted from others, the other side. Today is the day, although I have been said, this was the First World War, so it doesn't apply to Hitler. This morning, after Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu made the announcement that it's the day of the end of the war. So I asked him, which war? And according to the announcement, it's written the First World War. Someone told me it was the second. Is the first or the second? It's the first. Just double checking because I have heard different versions. So, and this place actually was a hospital in the Second World War. In one sense, we could say, okay, then it doesn't apply. But in another sense, you can say it applies in that there is not so much difference. The big difference between the First and the Second War, the Second was bigger. More people died. But the meaning, in the symbolic sense, it's a day where peace, or apparent peace, because took place. So there is a symbolic meaning there. This was a place, it was a hospital during the war. And now it's a hospital, but it's a divine hospital, isn't it? It's a divine hospital in the war against the illusory energy of the Lord. Here we're taking treatment, this guy. Taking treatment and giving treatment to other people who come. So Krishna makes things, some coincidences are there by the will of the Lord. And we can draw some symbolic meaning to these situations. So the purpose of yoga ultimately is to connect with the Lord. And the Lord, he is giving the power to the devotee to connect with him and power to serve him and to do something big. And he's also giving power to the non-devotee to do something big, even if in the karmic sense. And this is named Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya. Maya is the energy of yoga. Yoga means union. Yoga means also magic, mystic power. This is the double meaning. In India, many times, when we talk about yoga, even in some parts of the Bhagavatam, it's translated as magic power, supernatural power. It's the result, it is actually in that sense, when it is used as magic, it's a byproduct of the real yoga, of the real connection to God, to the Lord. It may be indirect. It may be also that someone gets this supernatural power due to tapasya performed, and the result is given by the Lord. It's indirect because that tapasya was not bhakti tapasya, was not offered with love to the Lord. But still, there is a result because somehow that person, through the tapasya, connected with the higher powers of the Lord, that person sacrificed for a higher purpose, or because he wanted to achieve something, even if he was a fruitive person like Hiranyakashipu, but that person was sacrificing. And then was practicing some type of discipline, yoga. Yoga means also discipline. So then the Lord, directly or indirectly through his energies, Yoga Maya, Srila Prabhupada gives the example. Yoga Maya is actually Maya, Yoga Maya is one. The energy of the Lord is one. He gives the example of the electricity. Electricity can use to heat, the same energy can be used for cooling. So it's the same energy. So the same energy of the Lord can be used, the Lord uses that energy to bring people, to bring souls closer to him, to make them develop a more intimate relationship, making them even forget that they are servants of God, making them think they are his father and mother, or mother, making them think God is their husband, God is their beloved. So this is Yoga Maya used in one sense, and the same energy can be used to separate, to throw far away the living entity, to make the individual soul think that he is as great as God in terms of thinking himself infallible, or think that he is separated from God, although God is everywhere. Krishna is present in every atom of creation, within our very self. He is giving us everything in terms of consciousness, in terms of ability to do things, resources, facilities to act, to perform whatever activities we want to develop. Everything is coming from him. But due to the Yoga Maya, we forget this, and we think that that God actually does not exist. Or if he exists, we don't see him. We believe that he exists, but we believe. We do not really see him. So this is the actions of Yoga Maya. Can bring us closer to him, can separate us from him. So here, the verse, if I remember well, is Shukadeva Goswami speaking. Is that correct? So many dialogues that we get lost sometimes. So it's Shukadeva Goswami who's speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. Yes. About the transcendental activities of Lord Rishabhadev. And now he's coming to the end of the description. And is closing by glorifying Lord Rishabhadev. He cannot be equal, and we shouldn't even imagine we can follow his example. Here he's not even telling about imitating, doesn't use the term imitating, but Srila Prabhupada translates it as following his example. What was his example? Can you think of some things we cannot even think of doing that he did? Extraordinary perfume when answering the calls of nature, which in his case probably he was answering his own calls as God, whatever. Well, we have also, sorry, I mean, this is not maybe the best place to talk about that, but just for the sake of comparison, we have also our extraordinary perfume in terms that, not perfume, but the bad odor. And due to the false ego, sometimes we think it's not that bad. We can tolerate our own bad odor, but we cannot tolerate the bad odor of other people, which indicates the false ego, false identification, how it is. But yes, we cannot imitate the extraordinary perfume, real perfume of the Lord. How many kilometers was around? They said many kilometers around. It was a smell. Was it something amazing? How? 80 kilometers. So from here, almost Brussels. Eight zero. Believe it or not, that's why we cannot follow that example. We cannot do it, not even 8 millimeters, what to speak of, 80 kilometers from here, in a straight line probably reaches Brussels, because the road is 90 plus, but there are many turns, curves. So from Brussels will be perceived. What else we cannot do that he did? Can you imagine? 100 sons. Having them, raising them, and that's... What else? Only when, yes, the python lifestyle, being in one place, not moving, waiting that the food comes to him. Do we do that? Like, sit in the room or home and wait for the food to come to us? We cannot follow that example. Depending completely on the mercy of God, he was playing the role of a transcendentalist. So, a devotee, depending on God. Also, if we look at the quality of his sons, he had great princes, Bharata Maharaj and other brothers. He had the Navayogendras, great transcendentalists, pure devotees, pure sages. So it's not just the quantity, but the quality. So can we follow what he did? Can we do it? And here it says, don't even dare to think about it. Like the expression, not follow even with the mind. It means don't even think about that. Sometimes I don't know how much in English language that's used. In Spain we have that expression, don't even think about that. That's the expression, do not even think, right? Saying don't dare to think, because it's something, you don't go there. Don't go there because you get in trouble. Don't even think. So Shukadeva Goswami is warning us, don't even think to become like Lord Rishabhadev. We could apply the same, although it may be a different context, but there are parallels. We could apply the same in terms of imitating His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Don't even think to imitate. Things that Srila Prabhupada, he did, we cannot do. Because his potency, he had a special power, Shakti Avesh. So we cannot dream, want to imitate. We can just serve. And then, of course, the Lord can do anything. If the Lord wants to use anybody, then the Lord can use anybody for anything he wishes. But from our side, we cannot really do anything. Whatever we are doing, big or small, is all the mercy of the Lord. Is the power of the Lord shining through our little selves. And this is something to remember always. Because the tendency is to think, oh, I'm doing. Kartaham iti manyate. So this is one of the looking when I look through the purport and reflected on in what way this is relevant to us. I was thinking this is one way how it can become relevant, how it is relevant, that we cannot imitate the Lord or his representatives. We can just serve them to the best of our ability, according to whatever they give us to serve him. Another teaching is that we are going to be tested. Like the yogi will get power in order to, will receive power. This will be the byproducts of yoga. Supernatural power will become manifest because as the soul is cutting through or disentangling himself from the coverings of material nature, naturally supernatural power reaches the soul. So things will come which normally before I was not able to do that, now I'm able to do it. And then depending how we use it, that will be the test. The test of thinking, now I have so much power, now I do not need yoga anymore. Now I do not need God anymore. Now I have become God. Even if we don't make it literal, but the implied meaning, the implied consciousness is like that. That we think that this belongs to us. We are misappropriating for something which does not belong to us. What belongs to us is the constitutional serving position. And the resources, the power, everything to serve is given by the Lord. So our natural consciousness is Krishna Das. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Dasa Dasa Nudasaha. Servant of the servant of the servant of God. That the nature of service is such that it is our constitutional position is serving the servants of the servants of God. And this is very natural, very joyful for the self, for the soul. But then test will come. And test may come in ways we cannot even imagine. I am very much, from the astrological point of view, influenced by Mercury, so they say astrologers. Mercury means trying to rationalize everything too much. Too much trying to see what's happening, calculating what's happening. But actually, we cannot calculate. That's another conditioning. Trying to figure out everything, how it's coming. Like thinking, oh, I'm fighting. Where Maya will come? I will fight her. But we cannot. How we can fight Maya? We cannot. It's the divine energy of the Lord. It's fighting God. How we can fight Maya? So it may come in ways we will not notice. Like we find, can you think of some examples in the Bhagavatam or in Prabhupada's purpose in his books from the Mahabharata and the Puranas of occasions in which personalities, advanced personalities, pious personalities were tested in an unnoticed form that you could not even imagine it was like that. Haridas Thakur, very good. He was tested by Maya Devi in person, and prior to that, there is a description of the prostitute sent by Ramachandra Khan, the envious zamindar, landholder or landowner. So he was tested in that way. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita says that Maya Devi manifests all her power. Any powerful yogi will lose his patience when Maya Devi presented before. If Maya Devi had presented herself before him as she did in front of Haridas Thakur. Any other examples? I'm not fully getting the point. Shukadeva Goswami tells Maharaj Pariksit. Okay. Okay, that will be another type of testing. Will be in another context, that's truth. Okay, that Guru is testing the disciple to see how sincere the... Okay, that can be... Yeah. It's much more subtle to see if he really wants Krishna or wants something else. Like also Narada Muni told Dhruva Maharaj, go home. Go home. Later on you come when you are mature man, you come back. No, you go home. So that was a test also. Any other? I was thinking a more confrontational test. That's also a test. Of course, in that case, their spiritual consciousness was not necessarily... Okay, it was a test in... Yeah, Yudhishthira. Yes, they forgot that death can come at any time. They thought, I'm so powerful, I will fight whoever is challenging me, I will fight him. So I'll drink and then I'll fight you. That was the kind of the could have been the mood. Thank you for that, yes. So Yudhishthira, no, he was wise and he thought, okay, any time can come. Don't think you are infallible. Yes. Yes, demigods as animals, animal shaped demigods. So, and we don't know from where the test can come. Like the case of Maharaj Shivi, remember the eagle and the pigeon? This was such a pious king, he was giving shelter to everyone who will come to him for shelter. But then when the pigeon came and the eagle wanted to eat the pigeon, the eagle challenged the king. You are protecting the pigeon, but what about me? I also need to eat. I'm also your praja. I'm your citizen also. So then Maharaj Shiva was in a dilemma. He made a deal with the eagle. Okay, I'll give you the weight of the pigeon, my flesh. Can you imagine? And I don't know how fat was the pigeon, but so imagine a pigeon like this, you have to give flesh Like we have this devotee, I forgot his name, very heroic, in Chaupati. He gave his liver, part of his liver, for Shyamasundar Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada's disciple. He risked his life. He was a grihastha. He is a grihastha. He had children. They discussed it in the family, and he said, okay, I want to take the risk to serve a Vaishnava who is very dear to Srila Prabhupada. So that, and this is heroic. Imagine like giving the amount of flesh, the weight of the pigeon. So then they put the pigeon on the scale, but the problem was that the more flesh he was putting, the more heavy the pigeon became. So never could match it. So finally he said, okay, then there is no point of continue cutting. I put myself the whole amount, and then we see if there is something left, we can take the other part. So, and then both the eagle and the pigeon reveal themselves as great demigods. They forgot who they were, Indradev or Agni. Agni and Indradev. So he passed the test. Maharaj Rantideva, mentioned in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Also, he had to observe a big fast. Time to break the fast, he was almost fainting, so hungry, so dizzy, low blood pressure. He needed to eat immediately. He had a nice feast prepared within his possibilities, nice feast. He was a very austere king. But then again, the demigods came in the form, first a hungry brahmana, then, if I remember well, a Shudra, then a Chandala woman with the dogs. So the last part. So each time he was giving half of what he had, he was sharing. Okay, he had the feast, half for the Brahmana. Then he had half for the Shudra. And then from that remaining, the woman with the dogs were also very hungry. So he thought, if I cut this in half, there is no point. Better someone should have something. It's okay, you have it. I'll drink the water. So again, he passed the test. Brahma, three demigods. Different demigods got tested him. So test will come. And the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam say that also for a sadhu, test will come. Even it is mentioned an envious demigod. That term is used. An envious demigod. At least in the translation, I will have to look, but it's in the translation in the 11th canto. An envious demigod may come. And we see examples of envious demigods. Even Indradev stealing the horse of Maharaj Prithu. So that will be another type of test. And the test, the real test was not necessarily if he will be able to do the 100 horse sacrifice and match Indra, but how he will react to the test. That's the ultimate. Maya Devi is testing through the demigods. So an envious demigod may become manifest in any way, in any shape. Even it mentions in the forms of disciples, that can be even that. Disciples, followers, people who you think, or who I think, we think, oh, they are my friends. And that doesn't mean they are not. But the test, the energy of the Lord is so powerful that can act, because all of us are instruments, can act through anyone and anywhere. In any circumstance. So test certainly will come. Brihat Bhagavatamrita explains that when Gopakumar was crossing the different coverings of the universe. When he reached the last covering, normally we imagine the coverings. How do you think of the coverings? When you hear about, there are seven layers that cover each universe, and the first layer is 10 times the diameter, the size of the diameter of the universe. So this is the earth layer, and then there is the water is 10 times bigger than the previous layer. And this is up to the last layer. How do you imagine the layers? If you imagine at all, but sometimes in my imagination I had some way of imagining, but I don't know what. How did you imagine them? I want to compare. So you imagine like what? Like, but I was imagining Earth, like big Earth, not even, but the element Earth, so long. Like, we're not imagining there will be any variety there, just the element. But at the end, when it reaches the last covering, Maya Devi in person, this is how Sri Sanatana Goswami describes it, Maya Devi in person appears in front of the liberated soul, the soul who is living, and then is offering, what do you want? You can have anything. Anything you want, you can have. Tell me, I'm here to serve you. I'm yours. Take me. So tests are there. So it's if when we think like and we think of ourselves, it becomes scary, actually, isn't it? It's scary because how you can fight that powerful energy? Any time will come, will get us. So there is only one way, not to fight, but one way to deal with it. Can you think of what is Krishna's stand on this? What is Krishna's instruction? Okay, run to him, cry out, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabahu, like the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Any other? Gita, look at the Gita. Daivi esha gunamayi, mama maya duratyaya, mameva ye prapadyante mayametam tarantite. This divine energy is very difficult to be transcended, but those who surrender unto me can cross over it very easily. So it is only taking shelter of Krishna. Yesterday I was looking at the last night, at the also in the morning, but in the night came that meditation because I was thinking what is to say in the class. So I saw the beautiful hearts. Yesterday, remember the hearts, the decoration, red hearts, commemorating Krishna's marriage to Srimati Tulasi Devi, Tulasi Vivaha, maybe also the end of Kartik, so it depends on the pujaris, they had their own meditation. So there was the heart, red heart, and there was an empty heart in the middle. Did you notice that? So I was thinking, okay, this is our heart should fit there. The heart of the jiva should connect to the heart of the Lord. The Lord is all inclusive. He's always waiting for us that we come to him. But our hearts, due to being separated from the Lord, are empty. No red color. Just an empty hole. So we need to fill our hearts by connecting them to the heart of the Lord. And this is the way of being with Krishna and being in our real position. Which our constitutional position is we are eternally dependent on Krishna. So we can say, in that sense, we're eternally fallible. And that's fine to be. We don't need to be infallible. He is the infallible. We are his servants. That sometimes it is the concept that the transcendentalist has to be infallible. But no, we are. That doesn't mean to justify fall downs, but what I mean to say is that in terms of accepting that we are fallible and we depend on Krishna. When we think we cannot fall down, it's artificial, it's not real. It's a dream. This morning, Sridhar Chaitanya Prabhu told me, very briefly, we didn't talk much because it was Japa time, but when I asked him the question about the war, he told me that actually here, very near this place, during the Second World War, the British, they bombarded the Nazis. They were coming here. And then Sridhar Chaitanya Prabhu told me, yes, this guy, he tried to take too much. He made like a comment, like saying, yes, that was the problem. He thought he was infallible. He thought he could take everything. And he was not ready to share with others the ruling or taking, like, allow everyone his quota in ruling and in also to the people to live a decent life. Comments or questions on the topic? Good point, yes. It's true, yeah. I remember when I was a child, my parents had a place, the balcony, there was like a balcony, and you could see, it's not anymore, but it was in the outside of the town, so there were some fields, and you could see the people working in the fields. And then I wanted to, in my mind, I was thinking this will be something to do, to work on the fields, like contact with nature and so on. But later on, when I had the opportunity to do it in New Brajamandala, I realized it was not that easy as to imagine that, oh, being in touch with nature, it's hard work. Isn't it? Surya Kunda Prabhu is hard work to the fields and take care of the bulls, the cows. It's hard work. So devotional service, we can imagine I'm a devotee, I'm so surrendered, but when the test comes, you are right. Then we see if it's real or not. Like the story of that fellow who was able to speak so many languages that nobody knew his mother tongue. Remember that story? His nationality. So one person said, okay, we'll find out. And then he went from the back and slapped him very strongly. And then he started to calling him names, and you rascal. So he said, okay, he's from such country. Because that was, he started to speak his real language. So when we are put into an extreme situation, it's when our real nature becomes manifest. Other comments, questions? It's a very good point, because if we really will be offered, like, you can do that, appear, disappear, and do these things, you can enter into a place and they are talking, you can enter in the meeting, they don't see that you are there, you can see what's going on. I mean, I never thought of that, but if someone offers, comes to you, you can do this. Yes, indeed, yeah. They're like the sour grapes story, yeah. Like the fox is trying to get the grapes and doesn't reach the grapes. Okay, these grapes anyway, they are sour. So. Yeah, when I reflect on that, makes me okay. It makes me feel more humble in terms of to say, okay, I can. I think I'm okay, but I don't know really. I mean, anytime a test comes, how I'm going to react? I think I know myself, but Krishna knows us much better than we know ourselves. So, therefore, we need to depend on Krishna and his devotees and serve them, pray for their help, for their mercy, and then we will be protected. As he likes, of course. Ultimately, it's depending on him. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.